pay attention to reading. I would like to start with the theme text, which are the words of a man who was born in Turkey, and these words were spoken, he wrote those words to his beloved son. Till I come, give heed to reading, to exhortation, to teaching. And I think you know who I'm talking about. It's Apostle Paul, Saul from Tarsus, who was a very highly educated man, and he wrote those words to his son in truth, Timothy. And those words are written in 1 Timothy 13 verse. Till I come, give heed to reading. Apostle Paul put a very important pressure on reading, then exhortation and teaching. But reading was on the first place. It tells us how important is reading. Let's elaborate a little bit about the reading and how it is in our lives and if it's really important for us as well. Because whatever was written before is written for us too, so we can get those teachings for ourselves. Importance of reading, I think especially during those days, was one of the major things followers had to pay attention to. Again, let's go back a little bit in time, where the Bible was not widely available. If we start at the beginning, God was speaking to people directly. He was speaking to their hearts, to Abraham, to Jacob, to his prophets to pass on his message. Then they will start writing those thoughts and those events. That's how the Bible originated, but it was very expensive. It was maybe just one, maybe two copies. It was specially written by hand. And how much attention and how much respect was kept to those writings, I think many of you know that if Jews were rewriting scriptures, they kept very big attention to have it really nice written. And when they were writing the God's name, they changed the ink and the pen to write it specially. That's how the respect was, how was a big respect for the Bible, what we call today. And we remember that Bible was not widely available. During the many, many years, hundreds of years, Bible was chained to the wall, and we would say nowadays, didn't see the daylight. It was chained to the, with a big fat chain to the wall, so nobody will steal it, nobody will have access to it, despite the fact that not many people could read, but even those who could read didn't have access to it. And Bible was not available for people for a reason. The priests in the churches, they read a couple scriptures and the ending, that was the word of gospel for today. And that was what people got, the word of God, just a few words. And so what happened then? Who spread the Word of God. I think we all agree that Bible Society make a big step making lots of copies with different languages, so anybody right now can have a Bible. It's the most popular book right now in so many languages, and we are so blessed to have it that I even saw the Bible in the hotel. You go to the hotel room, you open the drawer, and there is a Bible. And again, once we were talking about yesterday about the bread in the garbage, I couldn't stand once they were doing renovations, because I was also renovating the hotels, working in during the renovation, and I saw they were doing the reno everywhere, and I saw those Bibles laying on the floor somewhere, you know, around, because they want to put the new ones. That's how available is it right now. We of course gathered those Bibles and put them somewhere outside. Sometimes they were disappearing as well. So that's how it's available right now. And we may take it for granted. We have so many translations nowadays, many copies. We have electronic copies. And we are blessed. Blessed Bible is widely available for us, and we should appreciate it a lot. Pay attention to reading. It's not easy nowadays, since we can see that reading at all is not as popular nowadays as it was before. In the old days, once there was an evening, in the old days where there was no TV, there was no radio, people didn't have much better things to do than sit down or either socialize between themselves and talk about the old stories, or just open up the books and read. Nowadays, reading is replaced very often with listening of the radio, watching, and that's easier and more popular than reading. People, generally speaking, read less and less right now. Radio, TV, internet, it all shows that reading is kind of going down in numbers and the popularity. However, this easy of listening or watching, it relies on what others want us to hear and what others want us to see. We would think that we are getting optimal news in the TV. We are actually getting the news others want us to know. And we are not getting this, what somebody decide is not good for us. And I think that similar Satan is working. Just give people something so it will appear as truth. And we live in the world where the speed of life is so high that we do not really have time to check all the information if it's true or not. There is no time to check further. Though people have to believe what others will serve us. And brethren, we need to get thorough. We need to get into the truth. We need to get into the beginning and into the root to get that true information. And this is what Bible is about. And I would say, especially for those who are in the beginning of their journey of life, to gather this information, to read and gather the truth to their lives. Because the days are coming where we may not be able to get this information. And I'm not really talking here about the political situation or political reasons, where we were witnessing that the brethren in some countries were not gathered together and study the word. But I'm talking about something which is coming to almost every one of us. It's age. And here I would like to mention one of the brother from our class, from Poland, where I grew up. I remember his name was Brother Piotr Pogoda, Brother Peter. And I remember once I was a young man, he was in his advanced years, and his sight was not good anymore. He couldn't read because of his sickness. But I exactly remember his participation in the meetings. How did that happen? Well, there was a question, and Brother Peter just raised his hand, and he says, "Brother, please read this and that paragraph in the volume, or please read this and that scripture from the Bible." And you know how is it? Sometimes we are opening the Bible and we are reading really quick, because we are in a hurry, right? We are speed of life, and we are reading, and we didn't read it as it is really written. And he says, hold on, brother, you are not reading it right. It's not saying this word, it is that word. Please read it correctly." And indeed, it was like that. Brethren, where did it come from? Did he got a miracle revelation of that scripture, of that paragraph from the volume? No. It was years of reading and studying over and over and remembering and reading. And this is one of the reasons where we should read. Read as it is written, and read what God wants to tell us in his letter to us. We're talking about, but what should we read, really? I would like to read what is spoken through the Isaiah prophet in 34th chapter and the 16th verse. Isaiah 34, 16. "Seek ye out of the book of Jehovah and read." Seek ye out of the book of Jehovah and read. So even prophet, who I believe had a revelation and word of God, he is saying to us how important is reading. Well, that was example from the Old Testament. But what our Lord said? Let's turn our Bibles into Gospel of Mark, 12th chapter and verse. Not the whole verse, but a part of that verse. It's Mark, 12th chapter and 10th verse. And our Lord said, "Have ye not read? Have ye not read?" And these are those words which are coming along with what our Lord was saying. It is written. Have ye not read? It is written for a reason. Why didn't you read? Haven't you read that? It comes to our attention about Jewish people, about Israel, and their customs. And this is description on one of their customs of reading. And brethren, let's ask our question. Do we have a custom to read? Let's look at the Gospel of Luke, 4th and 16th verse. Luke 4 chapter, verse 16. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he entered, as his custom was, into synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up and read." this was a custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stand up and read. I know, brethren, that many of us are getting through the sickness. Many of us are getting through the difficulties, and it's sometimes hard to stand up. But I think that in here, it's also showed that respect to reading. Once they got that text, that letter from God, to show the respect, they stand up and read, not only to be heard, but also to show the respect to the Word of God. And it was a custom. It was not something which people were coming to the synagogues and, well, once a while somebody read something. It was a custom on the Sabbath day to stand up and read. And it was as old as a book of Moses. In Deuteronomy 31st chapter 9 to 13. Let's read those words. Deuteronomy 31, 9 to 13.
Deuteronomy?
Yes. Deuteronomy 31, 9 verse to 13. We will read about that they were reading every 7 years, repeating the law, reading the law. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, that bear the ark of covenant of Jehovah unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the set time of the year of release, in the feast of Tabernacle, when all Israel is come to appear before Jehovah thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, the men and women, and the little ones, and thy sojourner that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear Jehovah God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, who have not known, may hear and learn to fear Jehovah your God, as long as you live in the land whither you go over the Jordan to possess it. What a strong words. They have to do that. It was a bylaw, we would say today, that every 7 years they had to gather everyone. There was no exceptions. Not just elders, not just men, but men, women, little ones, all the children, and those who were in your gates, guests. Everybody has to hear that, to know the Lord. So nobody will say, I didn't hear it. And it was read to them. To learn to fear Jehovah, to have a reverence to him, to have a respect to his law. And it was, has to be done for how long? As long as you live. Forever. Brethren, so we should read. Okay. Well, so what we should read? Should you read really everything what is written in the Bible? Really? The Old Testament too? All those battles? All those genealogies? Couple chapters, son of this son, of that son, of that son? What is interesting in there? Well, let's take a look at it. Is it important? How can we come to conclusion that our Lord is Lion from the tribe of Judah? Who is Judah? Well, if you will not look at the Old Testament, we'll be clueless. We have to study. But really, genealogy? Well, studying that couple chapters of son of, what it can give us, really? Brethren, let's get an example, because the Bible is so huge that we probably would be here not a year, but a little bit more to give, like maybe even half of those examples. But let's take one example to see that there is no not important words written in the Bible. Let's take a look at the story of David. Everybody knows David. And Ahithophel. Do you remember who Ahithophel was? He was a David counselor. And Ahithophel's advice to David was always right. He was his right hand. He was helping him all the time. And once we read a story about David, we read that he stood up against David. How did that happen? What happened? Why Ahithophel stood up against somebody who he was giving such a good advice? His right hand. We would say, well, he's a close friend. Probably. They were working together and against, again, do you want to understand why Ahithophel stood up against David? Well, this is the example of some of the study. Let's read a few scriptures and let's put those puzzles together if it will align with the whole story. Let's read 1 Chronicle, 3rd chapter and 5th verse. And these were born unto him, unto David, in Jerusalem. Shimea and Shobab and Nathan and Solomon, 4 of Bathsheba, daughter of Amiel. Let's keep it in mind. Bathsheba, daughter of Amiel. Okay. Now, 2 Samuel 11:3. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Amiel and Eliam is the same meaning of the name. 2 Samuel 20:34, we read, and then again we are reading of those genealogies. Eliphelet, the son of Ahasabai, the son of Makathiel. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gileonite. So, if we put those puzzles together, we will see that Ahithophel was grandfather of Bathsheba. Can we put those puzzles right now together? Can we not know right now why Ahithophel was so angry at David? Brethren, these are just the parts of studies we have in our classes. And sometimes we are reading, not really understanding those, but once we start studying more and more and more, then, oh, you know, I read it there, and let's look at it, and coming to conclusion, and Holy Spirit is leading us here and there, and then we can see the whole picture. Another story is a story of Rachel, who is crying after her children. We remember that this was the prophecy from the Old Testament, Jeremiah, and then Matthew is quoting the same. And however, Rachel passed away even before Jeremiah's time. Rachel's grave close to Bethlehem once in travel with Jacob. So we can see, and now we can understand why there was a quotation in the New Testament. Rachel was crying after their sons. The prophecies and fulfillment of those. Brethren, so we are talking about how reading is important. But is the reading enough? Do we read enough? Do we have a time to read the mana text every day? It's just probably about 1 or 2 minutes of our time on the day. Do we have time to read his letter to us? Let's go back a little bit in time where there was no emails, no text messages. And brethren were traveling a couple weeks from Europe to America by boat. So then they would like to be in contact. They were writing the letters and they were waiting. They were really waiting to see that letter. And you know, once there was the letter in the mailbox, often, you know, we're opening that letter because you want to read it, really. What happens? What is there? How they are doing? And this is how we should approach to the letter from God to us. We should be eager. How can we get to know him without the reading about him? How can we love God? How can we love brethren if we don't read about it? If we don't know him? It's like men, young men and young women. If they want to know about each other a lot. Because they are in love. They want to know about what's their interest, what they want to do, what they like, what they didn't like, what they want to do, how to please one another. And this is how we're supposed to approach God. We should read this letter which was given to us. Brethren, I think I would like to also point one more about reading, one more aspect of reading. Reading out loud. And this is what was a custom. And it's good, you know, sometimes try it. Try open up the psalm, for example, at home and read it loud. Because, you know, again, we are in a hurry. We live in a very fast world. And sometimes, once you watch those students which have to read the book, they are going like this. Next page. Next page. They are just swallowing the almost whole paragraph, almost whole sentence. But if you read loud, you cannot do that. You have to go with the speed of words, and the words are spelled out. And this was actually very interesting thing happens there. If you try it, you'll see that this is really different than reading quiet. Let's read what happened once one man was reading loud. And it's written in Acts 8th chapter and 30th verse. From 30th we read 30 and 31st. Acts 8th chapter 30 and 31st verse. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. What happened? Somebody was reading out loud. Otherwise, if you wouldn't read loud, the Philip wouldn't hear it. And Philip ran to him quickly and said, "Understand thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except someone shall guide me?" And he besought Philip to come up and sit with him. Brethren, this is a few lessons out of here. If you are reading out loud, somebody may hear it and may help us out. Another thing is a good example which I think we should also follow. Look at that man who was reading the Isaiah the prophet. He was reading it out loud, and he had no idea what he is reading. He couldn't understand it. So what he did? Roll it in, put it on the side? No, he kept reading. He was reading, although he couldn't understand it. And what happened to him? Understanding came. Help came. Somebody helped him out. We should, brethren, keep reading. Although sometimes we do not understand that those passages from Revelation or Ezekiel with those will within the will, you know, maybe we should read about the Gospels where, you know, it's clear. But no, let's read it, because it will be in our mind. And sometimes where we may not be able to read for this or that reason, will be part of the study and will come to mind, oh, you know, I read it. And you know, that comes to our mind and we'll have a profit out of it. Let's not close the Bible and say it's too difficult for us. Brethren, there is a need of explanation for that man who was bright, that man who was highly educated, because nobody could read, not everyone could read, but he needed explanation. And there is a need of explanation for all people. They didn't get an explanation in the Middle Ages, and priests to people just read a few words without explanation, without a study. Brethren, do we need help? Yes, we need. How can we get it? Well, we can get it through study, but there is one very important element before reading. I remember I was getting the letters from one brother. I think he's right, a main person who is kind of the director of the retirement home for brethren in Poland. He was working with young people, and after we had some meetings, then we could continue over the letters. And he was giving us assignments. Okay, let's read this and that chapter from that letter, but don't forget about prayer. And that's important, brother. The prayer is important. Before we read the Bible, let's pray. And let's remember about humbleness and faith. Then we'll get help from each other through the studies. We get help from commentaries. Choose those carefully. Well, we do have excellent commentaries of Brother Russell who are proven to be harmony and backed up with scriptures. Not all commentaries are backed up with scriptures, so we have to be careful what we will use. And we have to be careful what kind of translations and everything else we are using. But there are lots of translations and maps, situations and measurements which are helping us to understand the certain stories. And how can we study? Well, we can study verse by verse. It's a slow but thorough study. We can read the whole chapter and talk then in our class about the whole chapter. But there's also the other way of study. Once we tried it with young people and it was working very well. It was a study of the whole book, and we went through the whole book of Esther in 3 days. Well, it's not thorough study, but then you have the whole picture, the whole stories in your mind, which is helping us later on to get into the details. There's topical study, which requires quite a bit of prerequisites of knowledge, but reading is essential to prove the study. Study of the volumes should be read, and also verses, backing up verses as a proof, like Brother Russell did. And don't be afraid to, in your classes, to change the way of study. And study a little bit that way or that way, because it may bring a better results and bigger blessings as well. And the most important, our part, being active during the study. Don't wait for somebody else. Who would like to read this and that verse?
There's a quiet.
Who would like to read this paragraph? And do you remember what was written? Blessed is the one who is reading and those who are listening. So, have that desire to be blessed. Our Lord said, John, fine. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these are they which bear witness of me. This is how important is reading. Acts 17:10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, when they were come, went into the synagogue of Jews. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of the mind, examining the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Let's examine those things, not just get over it. Apostle Paul is showing Berea brethren as an example of reading and study. Extreme, powerful weapon against Satan, because there is truth. 1 Peter 1:10, concerning which salvation the prophets sought and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Brethren, we mentioned about the study methods, asking questions, topical studies, studying text, or the whole story. Questions to those who already went through this study to get deep knowledge. Not like our friends who are using catechetical questions and answers. This is question, this is answer. No thinking. Know your own questions. This is question, this is answer. It's danger of repeating what others learn without Berean type of study. Without examining the scriptures daily. It's not because I said so. We should be, because it is written, because I read it. Brethren, we can look at those answers in a part of the Bible, references. We can look and listen, explain of others. We can look in concordance, comments, volume. In example, what vineyard means? What a fig tree is and why we are referring it to Israel? Do we have a scripture? Yes, there is a scripture. It is written here. And then we know that we are following that what is written in the Bible, what is really a truth in there. Sometimes take a look at genealogy too, because we may learn something really interesting, which we never thought about. Looking in originals is always a good thing. Not many of us, but few, knew Hebrew and or Greek. Sometimes translations are bringing trouble with different words, or translating different words at the same word. We have in English or Polish, we have one word, love. But in Greek, we have eros, phileo, and agape. We are talking about it. Three ones. And once we look at it, it takes us to completely different meaning. Let's find, brethren, the good and healthy combination of all types of study. Don't just hook up on one. Let's look at those. And let's not rely only on those tools. Because having just tools and laptop, concordance, might be dangerous if we are looking and getting an idea just out of that tool. And I'll give you an example of what I have in mind by this. It's an example of foreign language dictionary. Pick the language you know, or imagine you're going to the different country. And if you don't learn this language, and if you don't learn that culture, you don't learn that country, you just take the dictionary, go to the street, and try to talk to somebody word by word from that dictionary, it could be funny, it could be even dangerous. So the tool itself will not give us the whole picture. It's just a tool to help us to study and go through the original letter we got from God. Brethren, it was a blessing to be here and listen to the thoughts of you, and not only listen to the discourses, but having a fellowship with all of you, which I know that we can listen to discourses on MP3s, we can listen to them through the broadcasting. We had many brethren who couldn't be here with us, and we are very happy to have them virtually with us. But there is something which will not replace that technology. And you know what is it? This is the handshake. This is the two-minute talk with others and conversation. This is that look at your eyes. Why we are going through so many miles, we are spending money on the trip to be here with our dear brethren, as it was mentioned by last our brother Jonathan. If you say you love God and you don't love your brother, you're a liar. And you know who is liar? These are very powerful words. Satan was the first liar. And this is that measurement. Love brethren. And this is what we are coming to convention. And this is where we can experience this and get that power to our hearts. I would like to again extend the thanks for this convention to our Heavenly Father and to all of you brethren. And I would like to finish it off with the words of Revelation's first chapter and third verse about wishing you to remember reading and being part of that blessing. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth and then